All right, Jabo, say good morning. Let's begin. Our shiur this morning is sponsored by Ed and Iris Miller, Le'ilui Nishmas, Dr. Solomon Manischewitz. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, his neshama should have an aliyah. And also in the zchus of a refuah shleima for Meir Ben Rachel, we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, you have a complete and enduring refuah. So with that, we pick up with the daf this morning. So today's daf is Kuf Tes. We're picking up on Kuf Ches Amud Beis. So Kach Shalu. Barum Kach Shalu. It's the last short line on the daf, right before the lines get wide. So remember, again, we left off in the middle of this incident yesterday where they hired people to go ahead and go ask Rabbi Akiva a question while he was in jail. So the Gemara now has an alternate version of this. The Gemara says, Barum Kach Shalu. In reality, this is what they asked Rabbi Akiva. Hare Haisa Eishas Achi Imo Shi Shnielo. There was a woman who originally was the wife of the brother of his mother. So she is a shnia. She's rabbinically prohibited to this individual. And then however her first marriage ended, it ended. She then ended up marrying his paternal brother, Umais. And then ultimately, the paternal brother died without children. So now this woman falls before this individual for Yibum, but of course she's a shnia to him. And she's a shnia as a result that she was married to his mother's brother. So ma'u shetamayin hashta, v'takvinu l'nisuin kamay v'tisyabim. Now again, different versions have it, either v'tisyabim tsarasa or v'tisyabim herself. Either event, the point is, could she go ahead and do Yibum now and retroactively annul that original marriage that made her a shnia to this individual? Essentially, the question is, Yesh mion la'achar misa b'makom mitzvah? Olo, is there mion? Achar misa, can a girl do mion with a husband that had already died in a situation where that mion would allow for the performance of a mitzvah, in this case, Yibum, or not? So what did they do? Sachru shnei b'nei adam ba'arba me'o zuz. So they hired two people for 400 zuz. Uba'u v'shodos Rabbi Akiva beis asurim. And they came and they asked Rabbi Akiva while he was still in jail. Va'asar. And Rabbi Akiva said, no, it's asar. There is no mion achar misa, even b'makom mitzvah. Es Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseir ben Netziven. Es Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseir ben Netziven. Va'asar. And he also said it was asar. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Ashiyon. Umodirav. Shemuteres la'achav la'echav shalzeh shene esra alav. But Rav agrees that she is mutter to the brothers of this individual to whom she is prohibited. So the Gemara says, Pshitahu. That's obvious. Excuse me, Pshita. That's obvious. Hu nihu demakeres berimizosav ukritzosav. Because we're also going back to yesterday's daf. It is only him who we have to be concerned that when she marries another man, her first husband, because she is familiar with his movement of his lips or his gestures, that ultimately, again, he will convince her to get out of the second marriage and go back to the first. Aval echavlo, but by the brothers, that's not a concern. To which the Gemara says, "Mal de tema ligzar hai atu hai." I might have thought that we should be goes to the brothers, lest she come to marry this first individual. Therefore, the Gemara says, "Kamash malon," that we are not concerned for that. The Iga de Amri, others explain, "Amrav Yitzchak parashion keshim shar sura lo." Kach asura la'achin. Others explain that no, what it means is the same way that she is asura to him, she is also asura to his brothers. Ay vaha ina makeres bikriso sehem urimizo sehem, but she is not familiar with their gestures. Why would there be a concern? To which the Gemara answers, Gzera Achav Atuha. There is a Gzera ultimately again that if we let her marry the brothers, she may come to marry this individual himself. Says the Mishnah, HaMegaresh HaSaisha VeHechzira. If a man divorces a woman and then he remarries her, and then Rabbi Osai again, parentheses, then he dies, husband dies without children. So the halacha is Muteres Liyavam. She is permitted to go ahead and do Yibum. So we'll say again, remember, this is not necessarily a Ketana case. This is it's definitely not a Ketana case. A man is married to a woman, he divorces the woman, he then goes ahead and remarries her, he then dies without children. The Mishnah paskins that he is going to go ahead and she is subject to Yibum. Now, we will see in the Gemara the novelty in that ruling, or I should say, what the point of contention is, because if you look on the top of Koftes, Rabbi Elazar Oser, yet Rabbi Elazar says that it's as supposed to say, some have the gears of Rabbi Eliezer, not Rabbi Elazar. Okay, the Bach has two different gears on this. In any event, Rabbi Elazar says that it's Oser. And Rashi says, Taima mefarish bigimara. We will see again the reason for that in the Gemara. Says, V'china megarish yisayisom v'chzira mutarasavim sotu. If someone goes ahead and is megarish yisoma, I will say, whenever we see yisoma, so yisoma means a ketana, Rashi says, a ketana shesia ima v'acheha. So let's say you have a girl, a minor girl, who doesn't have a father, therefore her mother or her brother married her off. That is rabbinic marriage. So let's say, again, a man married this girl, then he divorced her, and then he took her back. Same case, divorced her, took her back, died without children. What is the halacha? Mutaris liyavam. She is permitted to go ahead and marry the yavam. V'Rabbi Elazar Oser, and Rabbi Elazar says, no, that it is Oser. Next, Kitana Shabosai. So that's pretty much the same case. Just the first case in the Mishnah is dealing with a Gidola, an adult woman, and the second case in the Mishnah is dealing with a Kitana. Third case, Kitana Shesia Avia. Let's see, Eva Grabosai. Now, we have not really discussed this in depth. A Kitana whose father married her off. Shabosai. So now this is biblical marriage. Father married her off, and what happened? Oh, I realized I did not. Yeah, it's okay. I guess I can just start it now. Okay, thank you, Mashi. A father who married off his daughter, and what happened? So, Kitana Shesia Avia Viniskarsha, Ki Yisoma B'chayi Ha'av. Ultimately, again, once the husband divorces her, this girl, she is like an orphan during her father's lifetime. What does that mean? So it says she's in a little bit of halachic limbo. Because what it says is, once the father married her off once, the father does not have the right to do that a second time. So our father cannot enter into marriage a second time. Furthermore, again, because she is a ketana, so her ability to affect things on her own is also quite limited. Therefore, she is like an orphan during the lifetime of her father. Therefore, I will say, bechzira. So now let's say her husband divorces her. He divorces her. And then he goes ahead and remarries her. And then let's say he dies without children. In that case, divrei hakol asura liyavam. Everyone agrees that she is not permitted to do yibum in that case. I will say, now why is that? Because listen to this. It's actually quite interesting. Because Lemaisa, when he remarries her, what type of marriage is that? That is only a rabbinic marriage. So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Vechzira bikat nusa asura liyavam, emes bikat nusa, vafil rabbanan de gerusha gerushin gemurin, vein chazarasa chazara gemura, de kidushe ketana enoklum, paka zuchus av, vehi ein layad, vahavila kegrusha vaomedes. So I'll say, because this girl has a biblically valid gerushin, right, from this husband, and all she has, therefore, is a rabbinic kiddushin. Therefore, Lamaisa, that rabbinic kiddushin is not enough to entitle her or to allow her ultimately to go ahead and do yibum. Okay, so we'll discuss how to reconcile case number 3 with case number 2, because in case number 2, you also have a case of rabbinic kiddushin yet, where again, yibum is permitted. So we'll see in the Gemara. So says the Gemara, Amar Ifa, my time is Rabbi Elazar. What's Rebbe Elazar's logic? Meaning, because Rebbe Elazar, going back to the first case, a man marries a woman, Reuven marries Rachel, then he divorces Rachel, then he remarries Rachel. Then what happens? After he remarries Rachel, Reuven dies without children. So what? So the Tanakama, the first opinion of the Mishnah said that she's permitted to do Yibum. Rebbe Elazar says she's not permitted to do Yibum. So asks Eifa, what's the reason why Rebbe Elazar says she can't do Yibum? Hoil va'amda alav shas ach sha achas bisura, because since at some point in time this woman Rachel was prohibited to the yavam, to the brother-in-law. When was she prohibited to the brother-in-law? Rabbi say at the moment that Reuven divorced her, right? At the moment that he dissolved the first marriage, so in that moment she becomes prohibited to her brother-in-law, right? Because again, Rabbi say, remember, not only are you not permitted to, you are not permitted to marry your brother's ex-wife. Right? Again, the only time that a man is permitted to marry his brother's wife is ultimately in a yibum setting. Any other situation, even once the brother has divorced her or the brother has died, that woman is usher to the brother. So apparently Rabbi Elazar is just saying, since he divorced her, she became asura to the brother-in-law, to the yavam, and even though there's a subsequent marriage, that iser still remains. So the Rabban said, if that's the case, in that case, where Reuven divorced Rachel, then remarried Rachel, then died without children, so now you said she can't do Yibum, she also should therefore not be obligated to do Chalitza. Because again, apparently what you're saying is there's an Isra, there should be no Chalitza either. Maybe you'll say, you're right, there is no Chalitza, Vatanya, but we learn Mishum Rabbi Elazar, Amru, Choletzes. We learned that in this case, in fact, she does do chalitza, to which the Gemara says, Ella Amar Ifa, So we'll say Ifa says in the end of the day, I don't know why Rebbe Elazar holds what he holds. Amar Abaye, so Abaye says, "Hainu time with Rebbe Elazar, misafkale I misama peles I nisuin harishonim apilim." Oh, I'll tell you what the issue is. That Ifa is not sure. Excuse me, Rebbe Elazar is not sure. Is it marriage that causes a woman to fall for Yibum? Or is it the first marriage? I was supposed to say, this is actually an interesting question. So when does the mechanism of Yibum kick in? Does the mechanism of Yibum kick in only when the husband dies? Or is it really, there is a certain element of Yibum mechanism that is already present at the first moments that the marriage is created? So the obviously, Yibum only goes into effect when the husband dies. But remember, Yibum is also an extension of the first marriage. So one could make the argument that, in fact, the Yibum process itself, in a certain respect, already begins from the moment that a couple gets married. It just never fully comes to fruition unless, of course, the husband dies without children. But the groundwork, the framework, the foundation for that mechanism is already there at the onset of the marriage. To which the Gemara says, "Im misama peles haram yakamei liyibum." So if in this case, if it's death, that is the determinant for whether or not Yibum could occur, then at the end of the day, as long as the husband dies without children, Lemaisa, she's subject to Yibum. And therefore, in this case over here of the Mishnah, even where Reuven divorced Rachel, remarried Rachel, they would still be permitted to go ahead and do Yibum. However, but if you want to say that it's the marriage, ultimately again, that creates the construct for Yibum, the problem, of course, then is, remember, that first marriage was dissolved, which means from a marital perspective, she is prohibited to the brother-in-law as a divorcee, as a grusha of his brother. Rava Amar Rava says, the Olam no. The Olam Pshit Rebbe Elazar, the Misima Peles. Well, say, if you remember, actually, we had this discussion earlier on in Yevamos about when do we look, at what point in time do we judge a woman's eligibility for Yibum? Is it at the time that she was married to her husband, or is it at the time, ultimately, that her husband dies? So the nafka minas we dealt with at that point in time is if she had a co-wife who was Asura to the Yavam. So the Gemara says, Rava says, no, in reality, Pshid Rabbi Elazar de Misa Mapalas. No, it's not true. It is death that is the determinant for Yibum. And as long as she's eligible for Yibum at the time of the husband's death, that's what we look for. Umiyu hakol bikin begerishin, ve'in hakol bikin bechazara. Oh, I will say, so what is Rebbe Elazar concerned about? Rebbe Elazar is concerned about a secondary issue. The Rebbe will say, when a man divorces a woman, so there's a call, right? There's a word gets out that she's been divorced. Everybody knows about the gerushin. However, when a man remarries a woman, there's not as much of a call. There's not as much of a call for a remarriage. Rebbe Elazar says, actually very interesting, you know, that the halacha is that you're not permitted to get married on Chol HaMoed. Right? You're not permitted to get married on Chol HaMoed. Right? Why? Because we learned this in Moed Katan, because ein ma'arvin simcha b'simcha, because you can't go ahead and you can't mix one simcha with another simcha. There's another shita that says that if you're getting remarried, right? If you maxir grusha, so remarrying the woman that you divorced, you can go ahead and get married in a Chol HaMoed. Why? Because there's not so much simcha associated with that, the Mishnah Berurah says. Right now, what does it mean there's not so much simcha associated with it? What it means is that it's not, yes, it's a marriage, but it's not the same call of marriage. So the Gemara says the concern over here, Rebbe Elazar says the concern over here is by gerush and by divorce, there's a call. But not everybody necessarily knows that he remarried her. And because the call of remarriage is not as strong, therefore we're concerned that people are going to see her going ahead and marrying, after, let's say, the husband dies, they're going to see her marrying her former husband's brother-in-law, and her brother-in-law, and they're going to assume that she's just married. They're not going to realize that it's a Yibum context. Because of that, Rebbe Elazar holds that therefore she's not permitted to go out and do Yibum, to which the Gemara says, I don't understand. Adrabah, Chazara kevan diyasu to say islakala. I don't understand why you say that. When a man remarries a woman, people see them living together. If they see people living together, the assumption Rabbi say is what? Is that, or at least in the times of the Gemara, right? The assumption is that they're married, right? So lemaisa, there is a call, to which the Gemara says milo askinan da hajja ba'arta v'shachav itzrafa. I don't understand why you say that. The Mishnah could be dealing with a case where he remarried her in the evening, and what? And he died that morning. Rav Ashi, Amar Hainu Tam Rebbe Elazar, the Gazer Mishum Yisom b'Chayi Av. vechzira. So Rav Ashi disagrees with Eifa. So according to Eifa, the whole issue over here is that we're concerned that people will not know that the couple got remarried, and therefore will not assume that it's Yibum taking place, but some type of illicit relationship taking place. Comes on Rav Ashi says, no, that's not the concern. Rav Elazar's concern is, we're concerned that you may confuse this case with the case of Yisoma B'chaye Ha'av. Remember again, the case of Yisoma B'chaye Ha'av is a father marries off his minor daughter to a man. That is biblical marriage. That is biblical marriage. Then what happens? Husband dies. Husband divorces the Kitana, right? Biblical divorce. Then he decides to remarry her. So what happens when he remarries her? Remember, that is only going to be a rabbinic marriage because a father can only marry off his daughter once. So now we have rabbinic marriage with this girl. The issue over here is you have biblical divorce on one hand, rabbinic marriage on the other hand, and therefore the Mishnah paskins that she cannot do Yibum in such a situation. Rav Ashi's Rav Elazar is concerned that people will confuse the case of the Gedola with the case of the Kitana, and therefore Rav Elazar says you can't do Yibum even in the case of the Kitana. Okay, to which the Gemara says, Rav Ashi, Amar, Haidu, Tavid, Rav Elazar, the Gazer, Hanim, Yishum, Yisom, V'chaya, Abich, Zira, Hachanayim, Mistabra, Midiktani, Seifa. This is also clear, because look at the end of the Mishnah, Kitana, Shesi, Avia, Vines, Garsha. If a Kitana was married off by her father, and then her husband divorced her, she is Kisoma B'chaye Ha'av. She is like a Yisoma, like an orphan, even while the father is still alive. V'chzira, Divrei HaKol, Shasru, Liyavam. And yet again, everyone agrees that in this case where he remarries her and then he were to die without children, everyone agrees that she may not deibum. To which the Gemara says, "Hai mai lememra pshita." So why is this even necessary to state? It's obvious. El alav hakamash malan time of Rabbi Elazar the gazer hanach mishum hai shmamina. To which the Gemara answers. To which Rav Ashi answers. Rather, you see from here that what Rabbi Elazar's whole shita and the reason he does not allow yibum in the case of the man ultimately who went ahead and remarried the woman whom he divorced is because we're concerned that if you allow it in this case, you may come to allow it in the case of the Soma B'chaye Abiha, the girl who is considered to be like an orphan in the lifetime of her father, which of course would be problematic. And therefore, in order to avoid the Yibum in a situation of Yisoma B'chaye Abiha, we also are gozer in this first case as well. Tanya Kavasi Rav Ashi, our Braisa, that supports Rav Ashi, Modim Chacham Rav Elazar, Bekitana Shesia Aviha. That what happens? The Chachamim agree with Rav Elazar in a case of a Kitana who was married off by her father. Again, remember, this is biblical marriage. If a Kitana is married off by her father, Viniskarsha, and then her husband divorces her. So what happens? Harihi Kisom Bechayav. So at that point in time, she is like an orphan during her father's lifetime because remember, the father no longer has any rights in her. And therefore, again, he cannot marry her off again. Let's say that in that case, Vechzira, let's say after he divorced her, husband remarries his Kitana divorcee, his former Kitana wife, or his Kitana former wife. So he remarries her. And then what happens? He dies without children. Everyone agrees that what? Sha'asura liyavam. Everyone agrees that that Kitana may not do Yibum. Why? Mipnei she'gerusheha gerushin gemur. Because they will say, on one hand, she has a bona fide gerushin, a biblically valid gerushin, which means midda oraisa, she is a grusha, ve'in chazarasa chazara gemura. And yet what? Her remarriage is only a rabbinic remarriage. So I will say, the problem over here you have is, you have a biblical divorce, so biblically she is a divorcee, rabbinically she is married, so that's fine to allow them to be married together. That will not be fine for what? That will not be fine for Yibum, meaning, or to say it differently, that will not be fine to allow for the dispensation of Isser Eshes Ach. So biblically, she is still considered to be the divorcee of the Yavam's brother, and therefore the rabbinic kiddushin is not enough to take away that prohibition. And we'll say everybody agrees with that. However, the Medrash Memorim, when is this true? This is only if the husband divorced her while she was a Kitana and remarried her while she was a Kitana. Because I will say, in this case again, remember, even when he divorced her when she's a Kitana, the Gerushin is still Doraisa. Why is the Gerushin Doraisa? Because remember, the marriage was Doraisa because this was where the father affected it, right? And he remarried her when she was a Kitana because this is the Kedushin is only Dirabanan. Aval Gerusha Kishi Kitana, but if he divorced her while she was a Kitana, Vechzira Kishi Gidola. Oh, but he remarried her when she was a Gedola. I will say now, if he married her when she was, then what? Then that is a biblical kiddushin. Then that works. Inami, and therefore Yibum would be permitted. Inami, Yichzira Kishi Kitana. or he remarried her while she was a ketana, but v'gadla etzlo, but she became a gedola while married him. And also remember, we know how this works. When she becomes a gedola while married to the husband, if she decides to remain in that marriage, that affects biblical kiddushin. Then she reaffirms her commitment to this marriage as a gedola, and then it becomes a bona fide marriage. Umes, and then he dies. Then she does chalitza or yibum. So we'll say, here we clearly clarify that this case of where this girl will not do yibum is only in the case where the second marriage and death of the husband occurred when she was a ketana. But if she was a gedola for any part of this process, then there would be yibum. B'shum Loza says, choletzes v'lomis yavemes. Rabbi Loza says, no, even in this case, we make her do chalitza and not do yibum. So I'll say this price clearly indicates that what Rabbi Elazar is concerned about is that you may come to confuse the case of the gedola with the case of the ketana, who is a yisoma b'chaye aviha. Therefore, in order to go ahead and avoid confusion, we say that even in the case of the gedola, Rabbi Elazar holds that she still won't go ahead and do yibum. All right.
When? She's still a ketana. If she's still a ketana and there's no yibum, does the father who died...
Yeah, for support purposes, she goes, I mean, she could eat truma if her father's a kohen. This is just an issue that her father can't remarry her again. She's still a ketana, so if her father's a kohen, she could eat truma, father's estate supports her, but lemaisa can't marry her off again. Don't worry, we take care of everyone. Ba'imine mirav Nachman. So what happened? So they went ahead and they asked Rav Nachman, Sarasa mahu. Right? What about her tsara? Right? What about the co-wife? What is the status of a co-wife in such a situation like this? Rashi says, Sarasa demuchzeres gedol Rabbi Elazar. So we'll say, this is not a case of now where, remember, so let's say Reuven married Rachel. Rachel's a gedola. So Reuven married Rachel. Then he divorced Rachel. Right? Then he remarried Rachel. And now he died without children. So what happens? So Rabbi Elazar Paskin, in that case, we will not allow Rachel to do Yibum. Not because Rachel shouldn't be able to do Yibum, but because we're concerned about that case of the Gedola, lest you come to confuse it with the case of the Ketana, who is the Yisoma B'chaye Aviha. What about, however, if Rachel has a co-wife? Is Rachel's co-wife permitted to go ahead and do Yibum or Chalitza? To which the Gemara answers, Amrle, so Rav Nachman responds, he gufa gzera. Look, the fact that Rachel herself can't do yibum, that's a gzera. Va'ana neko v'negzer gzera l'gzera. So we'll say, all right, so it's one thing if we'll go ahead and we'll make the gzera on the primary wife, but we're not going to extend the gzera. We're not going to add an additional level of gzera onto the co-wife. T'vaha tanya, ay, but we learn Mishum Rabbi Elazar Amru, he v'tzarasa choletzes. Ay, but we learn the name of Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says that both she, Rachel, and the co-wife both do chalitza. To which the Gemara says, he v'tzarasa sakadaitcha. So what do you mean that she and the co-wife? Ella lav ohi otzarasa choletzes. Rather, what it means is, meaning they both don't have to do chalitza. Rather, either she, Rachel, or the co-wife do chalitza. To which the Gemara says, I don't understand. Lav terutzi kamataratzta. So are you trying to answer this question? If you're trying to answer the question, taratzach, you have to answer it like this. He choletzes. She, meaning Rachel, has to do chalitza. But also remember, the reason why we're singling out Rachel is because you can have a co-wife who was married to the husband the entire time. She was never divorced. The only issue over here is on Rachel, because Rachel was divorced and then remarried. So Rabbi Elazar is one who says that we don't let her do Yibum, lest we come to confuse her with the case of what? Of the minor married off by her father, who was then divorced and then remarried as a ketana, where everyone will agree in that case Yibum can't occur. So Rabbi Elazar says, we won't even let the adult wife do Yibum, lest you come to confuse it with the case of that minor girl married off by her father. But the Gemara says like this, but when it comes to her tzara, when it comes to her co-wife, so he, Rachel, has to do chalitza. However, sarasa, ocholetzes omis yavemis. But the co-wife, have absolute right to do yibum or chalitza. She is not impacted by the gzer that Rabbi Elazar levies upon Rachel herself. And I will say, we happen to pass an halacha lemaisa, not like Rabbi Elazar. In both of these cases, I mean, the way we paskin all three of these cases is like the Tanakama. Therefore, again, if a man with an adult woman, if a man goes ahead and marries a woman, divorces a woman, remarries her, she is muteres and then dies without children. She is muteres to the avam. That's number one. Number two, if a man goes ahead and marries a yisoma, which means rabbinic marriage with a ketana, marries her, divorces her, remarries her and then dies without children, she is permitted to Yibum. And we also pass in the third case, which was the case of where the father married off the daughter, that the father married off the daughter to a man, he divorced her, then remarried her, and then died without children. That's what? She may not do Yibum in that case. Because since in that situation she has biblical gerushin, but only rabbinic kiddushin, therefore again, that biblical gerushin stands in the way of her accepting Yibum, of her doing Yibum. Says the Mishnah, Shnei achin nisuin l'shtei achayos kitanos. Well, it's another interesting case. So two brothers are married to two sisters who are kitanos. Umeis baila shel achas mehem. And one of the husbands died. So halazu teitzi mishum achos isha. So what's I say? Obviously now what's I say? So let's say in this case, Reuven and Shimon are married to Rachel and Leah. And Rachel and Leah are kitanos. Right? They're minors. And what happens? Reuven dies without children. So what happens? Rachel falls to Shimon. So I'll say, obviously, there's not going to be any Yibam in such a situation. Why? Because Rachel, the wife who fell in Yibam, is Leah's sister. And a man can't be married. This goes back to our first Mishnah in Yevamos. And therefore, again, there's no Yibam in this situation. She is, again, the wife's sister. And therefore, Lemaisa, again, no Chalitza, no Yibam, nothing. V'chein shtei charashos. And this is true if both wives were deaf mutes. Now we'll discuss this again in the Gemara, what exactly this is saying. Gedola Kitana, I'll say, is another interesting case. Let's say you have two women. One is a Gedola, one is a Kitana. One is a Gedola. Now again, this is the same thing, two sisters. Two sisters, but in this case, one is a Gedola, one is a Kitana. Meis baila shel Kitana. So if the husband of the Kitana dies, so the Kitana falls for Yibum to her brother-in-law. So in that case, there's no Yibum that occurs. Why? Because again, the Kitana is the sister of the Yavam's present wife. Therefore, again, there's no Yibum, no Chalisa. However, listen to this. Let's say the husband of the adult wife died. Then it will say, now what happens? She falls for Yibum to the husband of her sister, of her minor sister. So Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer says, we teach the wife. Remember, so let's say Reuven, Shimon, Reuven dies. Reuven was married to Rachel, who's the Gedola. Shimon is married to Leah, who's the Kitana. So now what happens? So now Reuven dies, Rachel falls to Shimon. So obviously Shimon can't do Yibum with Rachel because it's his wife's sister. But says Rabbi Eliezer, you know what we do? Leah is a Kitana. We tell Leah to do Miun. Why do we tell Leah to do Miun? That retroactively annuls the marriage, and therefore, and then what would happen? It would enable Shimon to go out and do Yibum with Rachel. Now, we'll say now, what's the logic behind that? The logic behind that is that Miun, she's only married rabbinically. Remember, Leah is only married rabbinically to Shimon. Shimon has a biblical obligation of Yibum. So if we could allow him to do his biblical obligation through Leah doing Miun, that's what we prefer. Not correct. Miun doesn't. Remember, Miun makes it like tabla rasa. The only thing, perhaps, is if there was bia, she couldn't marry a kohen gadol. Right? But aside from that, there's no vestige of marriage on her. Rabbi Gamliel says, miyana, ve'im lat. Rabbi Gamliel says no. So Rabbi Gamliel disagrees. Rabbi Gamliel says we do not push a girl to do miun. That we don't do. Instead, what we say is like this: if she does miun on her own, fine, she could do miun. Ve'im lav, and if she doesn't do miun, tamtin ad shetagdil, v'teitza lezum yishum achos isha. Well, this is actually very interesting. And if she doesn't do miun, then we have to wait. We have to wait until this girl grows up, right? At once, meaning this girl being Leah, the current wife of Shimon. We wait till she grows up, and we wait to see what she does. If she remains in the marriage, then ultimately, again, Rachel is going to be exempted from Yibum because of achos isha. So we'll say it's actually also a very dramatic shita, because according to Rabbi Gamliel, then you could have a woman who's in a situation of waiting, right, for years. It's just interesting. So Rabbi Yeshua says, oh, this is actually very interesting. Aylal ishto, aylal isha sachiv. Woe to him because of his wife, woe to him because of his brother's wife. Rabbi Yeshua has a very interesting solution. He says, Motzias ishto beget. In this case, he divorces his wife with a get, ve'eshes achiv bechalitza, and he does chalitza with his brother's wife. Now, what's happening over here? Rashi says, motzi es ishto beget, ve'ein malamdin osa l'mayin, kidamar b'gimara, yistrach ha'ikoda min ha'miyun, u'meisav nami lo yosva to say, tekasavra yesh zeka, elateitze beget, v'zulo tisyave mishum achos grusha, Ella teitzei bechalitza. So we'll say, as we're going to see, what's going to happen over here is that Rabbi Yeshua is of the opinion that we do not encourage a woman to do miyun, which we'll discuss in the Gemara. The problem is that there's a zeka. Once there's a zeka, that biblical zeka essentially prevents him from continuing his rabbinic marriage with the minor wife. So what does he have to do? He has to go ahead and give her a get, because the biblical zeka essentially negates the ability for him to continue the marriage. So he has to give his minor wife a get. And then what happens? Now, once he gives his wife a get, he can't do yibum with the other woman. Why? Because now she is the sister of his grusha, right? Because she's of his grusha, therefore what? Therefore he has to do chalitza. Okay, so again, we're going to expound on each of these shitos in the Gemara itself. Correct. Correct. Umishari, now the Gemara says, is it permissible to encourage miyun? That I will say, remember, the first opinion in the Mishnah with this was Rabbi Elazar, and Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Elazar says, we encourage her to do miyun. So the Gemara says, do we ever encourage a woman, a girl, to do miyun? V'atani bar kafra said, the olam yadabik adam b'shlosha dvarim, v'yishachik b'shlosha dvarim. A person should try to cling to three things and distance himself from three things. What are they? Yadabik b'shlosha dvarim. What are the three things a person should cling to? Chalitza. Okay, we'll see what that means. Hava'a shalom, be a kind of person that creates peace between others. Uba faras nadarim, and revocation of vows. Well, we're going to explain each of these things. V'yisrachek mishol shadarim, and distance yourself from three things, and they are, mina miyun, don't do miyun, mina pikdonos, Rabosai, don't be the kind of person who accept or to watch over collateral of others, umin ha'arvonos, and do not be a guarantor for someone else. So the Gemara says, none. So therefore, again, before we even explain this, the Gemara says that miyun is something you should not do, to which the Gemara answers, miyun de mitzvah shiny. No, what the Braille says, you shouldn't do miyun, that means in a regular case. But when miyun will allow you to do a mitzvah, like in this case, where Rabbi Eliezer is encouraging miyun for what purpose? To allow one to do yibum, then einachinami in such a situation, we would encourage it. Now the Gemara goes back and revisits this. Gufa, Tani Bar Kafra, the Olam Yadabik, Adam Shlosha Dvarim, a person should always cling to three things. Bechalitza ka Abishol. So number one was Chalitza. Why should a person always do Chalitza? Like Abishol, because we've learned this before. This Anya, Abishol says, Hakonis is even to Lashem Noi, Lashem Yish, Lashem Dovracher. If a man marries his sister-in-law, meaning he does Yibum because she's beautiful, or because he wants to be married, or for any other ulterior motive, Ki'ilu Pogea Be'erva, it's as if he has committed an immoral act. The karov be'enai liyos havlad mamzer. And I almost feel as if a child from such a union would be a mamzer. So the Gemara essentially says over here, according to this opinion, since, according to Abishol, you could only Yibum was only good if you do it for the purest of intentions, and it's hard for a person to ever gauge if they have true purity of intention. Therefore, what? Don't do it. Just don't do it. Next, hava shalom. So making peace is something that people should always strive for, should try to be medabik, should cling to. Tichsiv bakei shalom v'rat fehu. Literally be a seeker of peace and pursue it. V'am Rabbi Avoh, and Rabbi Avoh says, Yasya radifa radifa. We make a gzir shava av radifa radifa. Ksiv hacha bakei shalom v'rat fehu. It says over here, by in Tehillim, seek out peace, literally be a seeker of peace and run after it. Uksiv hasav, and it says over there, by in Mishlei, rodef tztaka v'chesed. If a person runs after tztaka v'chesed, justice and kindness, yimtza chayim tztaka v'kavod. A person will find life, a person will find justice, and a person will find honor. Fine. Ba'afaras nadarim. What about revocation of vows? Krabi nosen. Now remember, ha'afaras was the third thing the Gemara said you should cling to. That you should try to always do. What's the pshat? Tisayin Rabbi Nosson. Rabbi Nosson says, hanoder kilu bana bama. If a person makes a neder, it's as if he built a bama. We'll say a bama is a private altar that you are not permitted to build when there was a mishkan or a beis hamikdash. So Rabbi Nosson says, essentially, building a bama is a very bad thing. It's as if you went ahead and you built a bama, a private altar, v'ay mekaymo, and one who goes ahead and is mekayim his neder, ki'ilu hikriv aleh karban. It's as if you offered up a karban on it. Meaning, Rabbi Nosson holds, and I will say, there's a lot to speak about this, which is just the Gemara saying over here, that lemaisa, again, even if you make a neder, don't try to fulfill it, better to just have it revoked. Because since avo nedarim, that since, again, the penalty for not upholding your nether is so severe, better not to make it. But if you made it, it's even better than trying to fulfill it, is just simply to have it revoked by either by a chacham or by a bezin, depending on what kind of nether you made. And a person should distance themselves from three things. Number one, minami unin, right? From miun. Now, what does that mean? That a girl should not do miyun. Why shouldn't a girl do miyun? Dilma gadla umicharata be, because maybe she'll grow up and she'll regret, the guy was a good guy, and she'll regret having done miyun. Mina pik donos, right? And you also should avoid taking collateral from people. Bebar masa debaise, ki baise dami. What is that referring to? That's referring to taking collateral from someone who you're friendly with, who has constant access to your house. Because what's the concern, Rashi says? That you may take collateral from him, and what? And he may walk into your house, he may take it back, claim that you still have it, and because he has constant access to the house, he could take it without you knowing it. In other words, don't set yourself up for situations, ultimately, where you could be on the hook for something that you shouldn't really be responsible for. Mina eiravon, don't be a guarantor. Ba'arvi shaltzion. This refers to the guarantors of shaltzion. We'll see what that means in just a moment. Amar b'yitzchak ma'idichsev, what's the meaning of the pasuk? Ra yeroa ki arev zar. So we'll say, before we explain what Arvei Shaltzion is, we're just going to go on a little bit of a tangent over here. The Gemara says that Ra Achara, bad after bad, will come to those who accept converts, to the guarantors of Shaltzion, and to those who insert themselves into a dvar halacha, and to those who exert themselves into resolving halachic disputes. What does that mean? Mekabel again, what does it mean that bad things will happen to those who accept converts? That converts are as difficult for the Jewish people as sapachas, as saras is on the flesh. We had this before, remember this? So we saw Tosis. So what does this mean? What did Tosis say? Tosis says, because the big problem with converts is what? That sometimes they're much more meticulous with halacha and with the tenets of Judaism than those who are born Jewish. So Tosa says the big problem is the converts make the Jews from birth look bad. Just like the tzara sits on the skin and ultimately again makes the body look bad. The tzara, the geirim make the natural born, the Jewish from birth. What do they call it? JFB, right? The JFB Jews look bad. Next, Arvei Shaltzion. What's wrong with Arvei Shaltzion? The Avdei Shluf Dutz. So we'll see. Shluf Dutz is a type of guarantor. There are two types of guarantors. One type of guarantor means that let's say Reuven borrows $1,000 from Shimon, I guarantee the debt. So in a typical guarantorship, what happens? So I say to Shimon, you know, if Reuven can't pay you back, so I'll pay you back. There's another type of enhanced guarantorship where what? Where the creditor could bypass the debtor altogether, and what? And come to the guarantor. That's what they call Arvei Shaltzion or a Shluf Dutz. Shluf Dutz literally means to disconnect and connect, where the creditor could disconnect from the debtor and connect directly to the guarantor. So the Gemara says, don't get into such a situation like that. Is very scary, because you could really be on the hook for someone else's debt, and then you have to go after the debtor to go ahead and get back your money. What's the case ultimately again of one who literally connects himself or inserts himself into a dvar halacha? The Sanya, Rabbi Yossi says, Kala Omer in la Torah, whoever says, I have no Torah, Rashi says, Eino Osek, whoever says, I don't learn any Torah, so he has no merit of Torah. To which the Gemara says, all right, Pshita, obviously, if a person doesn't learn Torah, they don't have the merit of Torah. Well, what's the Chiddush? Ella, Kala Omer ein lo ela Torah. Rather, what the Gemara says, if somebody says, I only learn Torah, but I don't practice anything, all they have is the merit of learning and nothing else. Hanami pshita. Okay, that's also obvious. Ela da'afila Torah in law. Rather, what it means, no, is that if somebody says, I only learn Torah, but I don't practice any tenets of the Torah, then what? He doesn't even have the merit of Talmud Torah. But this is quite amazing. So if a person says, I just learn, but I don't practice, you don't even get the merit of Talmud Torah. My time, what's the reason for that? Amar Papa, Amar Kra, because the Pasuk says, V'limartem v'asisem. Because the Pasuk says that what? Excuse me, ulamartem osam v'shmartem la'asosam. You will learn it in order to what? In order to do it. Kol sheyeshno ba'asiya yeshno la'amida. Whoever is learning ultimately leads to action. He gets the rewards not only for his actions, but also for his learning. Kol she'eino ba'asiya, but whoever again does not go ahead and practice that which he learns, Eino b'lamida, does not go ahead and get benefit or does not get reward for his learning either. V'bayis ema, li'olam kida amriso meikara. Or perhaps it's as we said before, kala omer ein lo ela Torah, that person says that all I do is learn, right? And therefore, again, but I don't practice. All he has is the merit of Talmud Torah, to which the Gemara says, lo tzricha dekamegamer la'achrini va'azli va'avdi. So what's the chiddush in that case? Because you might have thought to find what happens. This individual teaches Torah. So he says, listen, I learned Torah, I teach Torah, but I don't practice anything. But yet others practice as a result of what I teach. So I would have thought, islay igra l'didei. I would have thought that if because of my teaching, others practice, then what? I should share in the reward of their practice. Kamashmalan, that's what? That if a person only learns, even if they teach, but they themselves do not practice, not only do they not get reward, of course, for their non-practice, but even if their teaching enables or encourages others to practice, they do not share in the reward of the practices of their students either. All right, so we'll have to stop over. We'll pick up with the Bais Ema Mir Tashem tomorrow. Apologize, we just ran out of time here. All right, we'll say we are davening. You know, it's musical shuls in Mirtz Hashem. So we are davening actually in rooms 2 and 3. We're set up in 2 and 3, a little bit more space in Mirtz Hashem. We have a table.